Welcome to another Message from the Heart. Life-changing messages from the heart of Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Wombai. And now, here's Pastor Darren with another Message from the Heart.
I would like to share a message with you on how to have faith in the valley of depression. Now, some of you here are facing very tough times and depression right now. I know some of you have shared this with me, and it's real hard when the pastor gets up and shares on faith and you're sitting here going, I am so depressed. But there is hope. In the valley of depression, there is hope. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says this: faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So you have the opportunity to exercise your faith even if you are down and depressed. Now, we've looked at faith over the last few weeks, and the trouble is that it's hard to faith to sort of maintain a good level of faith when all around you circumstances seem to be against you. We know that faith, we've had a look at this in the last few messages, faith is dependent not on how you feel. It's not dependent on your circumstances. It's not dependent on even the results of what you're praying. It is dependent on the object of our faith, which is God Himself. That's what your faith is in, not in results, not in feelings, and that's what it is dependent on, God Himself. Anything less than that, you shortchange yourself. But the fact is, we live in the real world with pain, heartache, disappointments, frustration, and sin. Is that right? Am I the only one going through that? No, that's encouraging. And the truth is, if you sit around and you press into God and you try and sort of have faith, if enough of this other stuff smashes into your life for long enough, you just get down and tired and depressed, don't you? So let me ask you, first of all, is it wrong to be depressed? Now, I've heard Christians say to me, they claim that we are saved, we know the Lord, we're going to heaven, therefore we should never be depressed, we should always be full of joy. Have you heard people say that? Now, that's a nice theory, but these Christians are either living in a holy bubble, or they're living in denial, or they're lying to themselves, because the fact is, we still live in a sinful world. Yes, we need the joy of the Lord is our strength, but if you're living in the real world, it's tough sometimes, isn't it? And we will face from time to time things that depress us, and some of us will even struggle deeply with depression. You see, behind this happy, clappy facade that says, oh, you've got to be full of joy all the time, the Bible actually identifies with and speaks quite a bit about depression. You may not know this, but there's a lot in the Bible concerning depression. Psalm 130, if you've got your Bible open, we're going to flip around to a few different places here, but it's good to see this in your Bible. Psalm 130, verses 1 to 5. David writes this: out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. So the picture here is of a man drowning almost. You know, have you ever been like drowning in water and you can't touch the bottom and you feel yourself going under and you're sort of paddling like mad to stay up? Have you ever been in that situation? I have many times, and that's what it feels like when you're overwhelmed with depression. Like you're weary and tired, discouraged, desperate. And maybe sometimes, you know, maybe you've gone through that in the past. Maybe you're going through it right now. Maybe you're looking at yourself, you're saying, man, I am just doing everything I can just to keep my head above water. But David goes on to say this: if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. And then he says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, in his word I hope. If it was wrong to be depressed, then half of the heroes of the Bible would be wrong. And some of the greatest and most creative people in history would also be wrong. I don't believe it's wrong to be depressed. I think we all will face it at some point. It's not wrong or evil. It's just something that you need to go through. You don't want to stay there. And I would rather, even as your pastor, I would rather that you admit being down and depressed than paint on a happy face and turn up at church and pretend. Let's get real, folks. If you are struggling with life for whatever reason, face the fact and be honest with God. Don't just hold it all in and think that it's all going to go away. Fake it till you make it. Faith isn't real faith at all. It's not. We need to be real to have real faith. So how do you find faith in the valley of depression? Well, here's the thing. Depression kills off your faith. That's what it does. It is impossible to be full of faith if you are constantly down and depressed. It is very hard to be faith-filled if you're walking through a valley of depression right now. And if you're there right now, don't beat yourself up, because the Bible says if you're struggling with depression, you're in good company. There's many examples from the Word of God. At times, for example, everyone feels sad and down and blue. Solomon wrote of a time to weep and a time to mourn. So it's not wrong to have a time when things are hard and you're weeping and you're mourning. However, clinical depression is a much deeper level of emotional turmoil, and it affects many people in many ways. Let me just explore what is called clinical depression. So this is different to just being sad and depressed. This is like something that is pervades your whole life. Now, according to research, nearly one person in five will experience significant and persistent levels of depression. Even more than that will be medicated for it. Significant and persistent depression causes people to miss more work than diabetes and heart disease. It is a major risk factor in things like heart attacks, strokes, mental health issues, and suicide. If you are suffering clinical depression, it's not weird or unusual, and many godly people have battled depression all of their life. It affects the sufferer. It also affects everybody around you, especially those closest to you. Depression saps the faith out of you, and it saps the faith out of everybody who is around you. It is a long, dark, dangerous valley, the valley of depression. But, yea, though I walk through the valley of depression, we can do so without fear because the Good Shepherd is with us. Keep walking. If you are going through depression right now, I urge you to keep walking. Don't stop. Don't rest up there. And above all, don't camp there. Okay, if you're walking through a valley of depression right now, keep walking. Don't stop and camp there. Many people just camp there and their entire life is spent in this place of severe depression. Don't do it. The Bible says it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, folks. It came to pass. And whatever you face will pass as well. The causes of depression. Now, depression can be caused by a variety of factors, including stress, fear, loneliness, guilt, anger, and loss of hope. If you are depressed, as I said, you are in good company. King David often wrote about his depression. Job experienced financial, personal loss, health loss, and relationship losses, which caused depression. Elijah had a great victory on Mount Carmel and then turned around and got depressed. And many other Bible heroes have walked this lonely path. Although environmental issues such as work, stress, family, and other relationships can add to depression, sometimes it's actually a medical problem and will require some sort of medical intervention and treatment. Depression can also be caused as a side effect of medicating yourself with things like drugs like cocaine, that sort of stuff, or alcohol. Another cause of depression is hope deferred. Sometimes you may not even know why you're depressed, but when you've got a hope and it's deferred, it gets really hard. Hope deferred, a frequent cause of depression, is it's worth highlighting because it affects many of us, including myself, and we're facing this right now. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if they're constantly moving the line, and you're kind of and your hope is just moving into the distance, and you look like you'll never get there, it makes your spirit sick. It's a general observation in life that a legitimate longing that is delayed indefinitely grows wearisome. People naturally tire of persistently unmet expectations, either in your work or your church or someone you love. If something you are hoping for is being deferred, if it's being moved away and away and away, you need to watch yourself, because that is a very sure way to plunge into depression. As I tell you, how do you think concentration camps work? They put them in this place with no hope of getting out, and they crush their spirit. That's what they're trying to do. And your spirit can be crushed by hope deferred. The symptoms of depression, I mean, many of you will know these, but I want to run through these quickly. And in fact, Psalm 102, if you've got it there in your Bible, Psalm 102 is a virtual checklist of symptoms of depression, because King David was going through it. One of the greatest kings that ever lived, the guy who took on and slew Goliath, also suffered from depression. Look at what he says here. Verse 1 and 2. Let me cry. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of trouble. David wrote of feeling stricken physically and described losing meaning and purpose in life. He said, verse 3 and 4, my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass. He lost his appetite. Verse 4, I forget to eat my bread. He felt isolated and rejected. I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. He couldn't sleep. I lie awake. Verse 7, he had frequent spells of crying. Verse 9, I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. One of the things we've got in this country is some sort of an idea that it is not right for men to cry. Listen, real men cry. They do. Right? This is one of the biggest problems our men face. They don't want to cry because they think it's girlish. It's not. Real men cry. I cry at times. Those sad movies really get to me at times and I cry. But serious depression can present itself in a number of ways. If you are wise, do not cover it up. Do not fake happiness. And share your feelings with someone else. Suicide, I heard the other day, has risen nearly 60% in recent years for men over 55. Why? Because they bottle it up and fake it on the outside. That's why. And when their life on the outside, they look good, but inside their life is falling apart, and many of them are driven to suicide because they're in despair. They've completely lost hope. So responding to depression. Elijah demonstrated both healthy and unhealthy responses to depression. But the good ones are like this. After his great victory on Mount Carmel, his life was threatened. He became afraid and he focused on the situation instead of on God. That's the bad one. During a sequence of events, he sank deeper and deeper into a depressed state. His fear became so intense that he eventually ran away, isolated himself, and prayed that he would die. His faith drained away. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever felt like running away? I feel like that most weeks. When stuff goes wrong, you get two or three things go wrong, you get a bit of pressure, a bit of criticism or something like that, you feel like running away, don't you? Am I the only one? Good. Praise the Lord for that. Well, that's how Elijah, he actually did run away. A summary of his behavior can be described as the HALT system, H-A-L-T, which is a series of symptoms, which I'll get to in a moment. But at his most depressed state, he was hungry. He stopped eating and he was off his food. If you're off your food, have a good look at yourself, because that could be a sign that you are struggling with depression. A, angry. He was mad at God for not caring about him. Now, who's ever been mad at God? I know you shouldn't be, but near as I can figure it, God is big enough to take it. He doesn't mind, okay? Now, if God is big enough to take it, he cares enough about your feelings. What he doesn't want is for you to fake stuff. If you're mad at God, let him know so. Cry out to God. Remember that if you've prayed for something and not got what you've wanted, this is really close to the bone here, folks. If you prayed for something and not got what you've wanted, chances are God never promised you that in the first place. So don't get mad at God for not performing for you when he never told you in the first place that he was going to do it. Remember I said the other week, we make up our mind, this is what I want to do. God bless it. If it doesn't happen, we blame God. That's not fair. Now, you can be mad at God, but you won't be in the right place, I can assure you. So H-A-L is lonely. Elijah left his servant and he traveled alone. People who get depressed withdraw from others. If you find yourself withdrawing, if you are feeling depressed and lonely, you need to reach out to someone who cares. This church is full of people who care. That's what we do. We love caring for people. And if you're going through stuff, reach out. Don't isolate yourself. Share, don't isolate. T, he was tired. He collapsed into sleep. So if you are abnormally tired and exhausted, the risk of depression is high. Anytime a person experiences an intense combination of H, A, L and T, then they are vulnerable to becoming under some form of depression. Now, again, depression is not a bad or evil thing. You're just depressed. However, you need to recognize if those feelings start controlling you instead of you controlling them, you've got a problem. Is that true? if you're in that situation, you must cry out to God and look to Him in faith. You may not feel like you have much faith, but as we saw before, faith is not dependent on the results or how you feel. Faith is dependent on who your faith is in, which is God. So I'm telling you now, faith is small. The Bible says faith is small as a mustard seed. That's the smallest seed biblical writers knew. Tiny, tiny seed. Faith that big in an infinite God is a sure thing. Because it's not about your faith, it's about Him. Who your faith is in. So recovering hope. Listen, if you're going through the valley of depression, God cares, and so do I. Our faith may struggle here, but all is not lost, and your faith is not dead. If you are down and struggling with depression right now, it doesn't mean your faith is dead. It just means we have to go through a number of steps and keep believing God, and God will come through for you. Whatever you face, however painful or depressing, however down you feel, it's time to take your eyes off what's happening around you and look up to the Lord of hosts, the one who loves you and gave His life for you. If this is you, then now is the time to recover hope and restore faith. God acted in Elijah's life to turn his symptoms around directly. He provided food, rest, companionship to bring Elijah out of his depression. He restored his faith, and it took a little bit of time, but he did it. It'll take some time with you, but God can and will do it. You've just got to keep going and never give up. So, what are the steps to restoring faith in the valley of depression? As I said before, it's okay to feel down. Don't beat up on yourself if you feel down. Right? Because how are you going to feel if you're down and you beat up on yourself? You're going to feel better? No, you're going to feel even further down. So don't beat up on yourself. Just like Jonah ran away. Sometimes I get down, I want to run away. These feelings are normal. And it's okay to go through those things. What is not okay is to stay there and to wallow in the pain, which we do. I remember a line from an Elton John song. I don't usually like to quote that guy in church, but he had a song called about the blues, and he says, it hurts so much to sing the blues. And see, that's the world's idea. Let's just give me a little bit of pain, enough pain so that I can sing the blues. I don't think we should do that as Christians. We don't want to revel in that stuff. What is absolutely not okay, let me touch on this before we go on, is to reach the point that Elisha reached in 1 Kings 19 verse 4. He asked that he might die, saying, is it enough, O Lord? Take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Elijah got to the point of contemplating suicide. Folks, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. It destroys you. It destroys everybody around you. It is never, never, never God's will for your life. I promise you that. So if you find yourself down and depressed, feeling hopeless or overwhelmed, here's some steps to help you along the way coming out. Now, bear in mind, if there is a physical problem that you need to see a doctor about, see the doctor about it. Do what he or she says. But I want to give you some steps to help you out of depression. Number one, cry out to God. We saw this before in the passage we read. You can fake happiness and play happy families and happy life with others, but you can't fool God. That's why the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. You can't fool Him. He knows what's going on. He created you. He loves you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Psalm 61 verse 1 and 2 says this, hear my cry, O Lord, and listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to yourself, the rock that's higher than I. Cry out to God. Get mad at Him if you want to. But please just be honest with God. Don't try and fake your way through things with God. He knows. And I believe if you do get mad at Him, He's big enough to take it and to minister to you. When your world falls apart, rather than faking faith, why don't you cry out to the Lord in honesty and let Him restore genuine faith in your life? Because faking faith is like putting a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage. I don't know if you've ever done that. I had an operation years ago. They bandaged me all up. They said, look at you. It was on my shoulder. They said, look at you. You're doing really well. Fantastic. They even sent me home. I was at home. I got really dizzy. I had intense pain in my shoulder, was really dizzy. They took me back to hospital. Turns out I was bleeding to death inside of my body. Couldn't see it. Had a bandage around it. Had it sewn up and had a bandage on it. But it was in there. It didn't stop the bleeding. And faking it is like putting a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage. Doesn't stop the hemorrhage. But you can't see the blood. Oh, we must be all right. No, you're not. So don't do that. Number two, treat yourself well. If you're struggling with depression, don't beat up on yourself. I said it before. Whatever the cause, be it physical pain, relationship pain, financial stress, sin, guilt, or just exhaustion, you have to nurture your physical needs. If you are struggling with depression right now, you need to do something physically to help yourself out. When God met Elijah and he was depressed, he met his physical needs. So, you need to eat the right foods, not junk. How many of you, when you get down and depressed, ladies in particular, turn to junk food? Yes? And you sit there in front of those soppy movies with chips on your chest and ice cream and chocolate and go, why am I feeling so depressed? That's not the solution. Okay, so do not, you know, eat the right food, not junk. Drink something healthy, not alcohol, which is a depressant after all. Here's a tip. If you feel down and depressed and you get drunk, when you come out of that the next day, the problem's still there. You haven't changed anything. You've just numbed the pain for a short time. So don't numb the pain with alcohol. Don't numb it with drugs. Get some sleep. Get lots of it and start doing things you like. If you're feeling down and depressed, do something you like. Go to the movies and watch a comedy. Go to the beach. Hang out with people you love. Do things you enjoy with people you enjoy. Many people who are depressed keep going into situations that they don't like with people they can't stand because they feel they have to. No, take a break and get away from it all. You might have to take a holiday, even a few days away somewhere out of the ordinary. You could even spend a few days at home relaxing. Who's forgotten what that feels like? You get there at home, the lawn's got to be mowed, the house has got to be cleaned. Just relax, take some time out. It's important. If you are down and depressed, you need to meet some physical needs. If depression is due to stress or overwork, like my life tends to be, take some time out. It's absolutely essential. 1 Kings 19 verse 8 says this, and he arose and ate and drank and went on in the strength of that food 40 days. Strengthen yourself. Number three is share the load. No man is an island. When you get depressed, not only do you tend to isolate yourself from God and from faith, but you also isolate yourself from others. Depressed people don't feel like going out. You don't feel like talking, and you don't feel like going to church. Many times, people who've been attending church for ages stop coming to church because they're depressed. Wrong response. The opposite. If you're down and you're struggling, you need to be with people who love you and will support you. Ecclesiastes 4 says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who falls and has no one there to lift him up. God says it there. Two are better than one. Have someone you can turn to and share the load with. If you're down and struggling, share it with someone. Come forward and have people at the front pray with you. Have people believe for you. Share the load. Because it not only minimizes your burden, but it also increases our faith. As we pray into that, we can see blessing come on your life. It's incredible. Remember we talked a while ago about Ephesians 6, the shield of faith. But when the Romans used their shield of faith, they used to interlock them. And that's what church is. You take your faith and you bring it in and you interlock it. If you hate coming to this church, find another one. There's no point. Don't come here because you hate it. Come here because people love you and you love being in the presence of God. But join faith with others. Share the load. Don't struggle on alone. This church is about loving and supporting people. And it's big on loving and supporting you. Isolate yourself at your own peril. Try going it alone and the devil, trust me, the devil will pick you off. He will. It's not worth it. Number four, fill your mind with worthwhile things. Philippians 4 verse 8, I love this verse. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything of excellence, worthy of praise, think about these things. When you get depressed, everything you look at looks bleak and dark. You start interpreting things people say and do in the worst possible light. You know, like you come to church wearing a red shirt and somebody says, oh, I thought you were going to wear the green shirt. And you say, that person hates my red shirt. You know, you see everything the wrong way. You start seeing every situation you face as being hopeless. But the Bible teaches us to fill our minds with true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, godly things. So turn off the TV. No! Yes! Turn off the TV. Open the Word of God. If you're doing the Bible reading plan, let God minister to you. I can't tell you how many times every single week that as I read through that daily Bible reading plan that we've got, we can give it to you for free at the back, God speaks to me so often. And when I'm down, He especially speaks into my life very clearly from that Bible reading plan. Listen to Christian music. Listen to godly podcasts. Stick encouraging verses all over your fridge. What do you think fridges are for? To keep things cold? I don't think so. They're to stick things on. Pretty sure. Come to church, listen to the sermons, download them and listen to them again if you want to double up on them. But whatever you do, fill your mind with good, wholesome stuff. Put that stuff in your mind. In depression and in faith, the battlefield is all where? In the mind. So tip the balance of the battle in your favor by filling it up with good things. Number five. Have a gratitude attitude. A surefire way to turn depression around is to start to see by faith, growing up in your life, things you can be thankful for. If you are depressed, this is really hard to do, isn't it? When you're really down, you go, oh, I just don't want to think of something positive. I want to just, you know, I'm overwhelmed by all this. But Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, we know it well. Do not be anxious about anything, for in every situation, by prayer and petition, with, what does it say? Thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and then the peace of God will transcend your hearts and your mind. Thanksgiving, it's really important. We've shared this before, but I want to share it again. When Fiona and I lost all of our money and all that sort of stuff, and we had to sell our house. Fiona had designed the house. She'd made it very beautiful. It was exactly what she wanted. We had to sell it. We had to move to a lesser house, the house we're currently in. It was made of tin. It was summer. It was really hot. And we moved into that, and she hated it. Every aspect of it. It was so hot. It was like living in a sauna. It was, which is nice for weight loss, but not good for where we're at. Fiona got a heat rash. She was covered in this rash. She said, great, now I even look like Job. I'm covered in a rash. And the Lord spoke to her and said, well, I want you to be thankful for one thing about your life every day, about the house every day. So her first thing was, Lord, I thank you that I have electronic gates and no one can come in and see how ugly I look covered in rash. That was her first thing to be thankful for. And she disciplined herself, and by faith she started to speak out something thankful for something, gratitude for something every single day. And before long, the Lord had turned her heart around, and we now love where we're living. It's really true. It really does work. So have a gratitude attitude. Number six, take every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says this, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive for Christ. Okay? Now, even if you are struggling, even if you are trying to sort of get faith and you're feeling a little bit better, what you'll find when you feel this little bit of a surge of faith in the midst of your depression, this surge of faith, you start believing God, and guess what? Thoughts come into your head, and those thoughts come and attack you, and all of a sudden you are down in the dumps again. Who can relate to that? You know what I'm talking about. It's these little thoughts sneak around in your head and take over. So you try to speak faith, but something happens and suddenly you're filled with fear and dread all over again. Those stray thoughts can destroy your faith and plunge you back into the depths of despair. So are we going to take it? No. Are we going to fight? Yes. So what do we want to do? We take the initiative and we take those thought captives. When a thought infiltrates your mind, stop everything and recognize it for what it is. It's a dart. It's a flaming dart from the enemy. That's what it is. That's a little thought that pops in your head. And so I would recommend something like this, saying out loud, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to entertain that thought, and I take it captive and neutralize its poison right now in Jesus' name. That's what I would pray. Because these thoughts will come. Don't be surprised if these little thoughts pop in, but you need to deal with them, take them captive. They're going to be thrown at you. Get ready to intercept them. It's a bit like, do you know the nation of Israel? They've got something called Iron Dome over. Who knows what the Iron Dome is? Anybody heard of that? It's a special missile defense system that the Israeli Air Force has set up with the help of the Americans. And when the bad guys send missiles over, it sends sort of surface-to-missile missiles and takes them out before they get anywhere near the population. And it works a treat. Do you know the Syrians, last I heard, were sending between 20 and 30 missiles a day into Israel? And this system was knocking almost all of them out of the air before they caused damage. That's what you need in your life. Iron Dome around you, taking out those thoughts one by one. Number 7, as we wrap it up, is wait patiently. This is the worst one. I struggle with this one. It's hard because if you're down and depressed, it usually takes some time to come out of the valley. Psalm 25 verse 21, may integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Psalm 27 verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart and wait for the Lord. God does not spring into action on our timetable. In fact, he waits until the very best moments to intervene and rescue us. Why? Because waiting is the Lord's training ground for building strong faith. As we wait, we learn to trust God. So even if you're down and depressed, you still have to wait patiently for the Lord, and this will serve to build your faith ultimately and lift you out of your depression. Note that waiting patiently is not constantly whining and whinging about how long the Lord has taken. I just thought I'd put that in. Wait patiently means you continue doing what you're doing, looking for a breakthrough. It doesn't mean you whinge and complain and get down about it. If you truly have faith and you trust him, you have to believe that he has also perfect timing for you. And finally, number 8, the final step of rediscovering your faith in the valley of depression is to keep going. As you walk this lonely, bleak, colorless valley, keep walking. Don't just stop, and please don't camp there. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Is therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully for the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." In the Message Bible, it says it this way: with all this going on for us, my dear friends, stand your ground, don't hold back. Sounds like a Jeep commercial, I know, but don't hold back, he says. Throw yourself into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. So if you're struggling with depression and you feel your faith is wavering, don't hold back. Keep going and believing, because nothing you do will be wasted. None of those moments of waiting will be wasted in the long run. And finally, there is hope. If you're walking through the valley of depression right now, I promise you there is hope. Yes, there are tough times. Yes, the future may look hopeless. Yes, your faith may be small right now. But remember, faith is not dependent on what you can muster. It's not dependent on what the results are. Our faith depends on the object of our faith, which is God, and there's no problem with him. He's the creator of the universe. He's the Lord of all. He's the lover of your soul, and your faith should be in him. If your faith is in him, he can come through for you. Struggling with depression is a real thing that many of us go through. But I believe as we stand together in faith, we can see faith triumph over depression. Do you believe that? Why don't you bow your heads and pray?
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Woombye, on the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more messages from the heart, transcripts, and other material, visit www.coastchurch.com.au or subscribe on podbean.com. See you next week on Messages from the Heart.